You're listening to Bought and Beloved with Kirby Minnick. This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.
Hello, ladies and gents, and welcome to another episode of the Bought and Beloved podcast. I'm Kirby Minnick, also known as Kirby's the Boss on Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, whatever. And boy, oh boy, do I have a word for y'all today. You know how I do. I don't like to beat around the bush all too much. I like to dive right on into these things. So let's get this week's podcast started. I hope that you're having an amazing day, by the way. And if for whatever reason you are having a rough day, a rough week, month, year, life, goodness, then I hope that this word gives you so much strength and confidence and grace today. Y'all, grace from the Lord to you, grace from yourself to yourself as well. Now, for those of you who aren't subscribed yet to the podcast channel, here is your sweet reminder to go do so real quick. And if this impacts you in any way, please, please, please leave a sweet rating and review it in return, just because, man, it really gets that gospel message out there and these words of freedom out there to so many people who need it, who need hope, who need truth in their hearts and just freedom from the things that they're struggling with. But for those of you who have continued to share how this podcast has been impacting you, man, I have been seeing it. You guys have been posting about it all through social media. I know that you've been sending it to your friends and showing it to people at your church. I've been getting all kinds of amazing messages. And just know that although I don't always have time to recognize that and message you personally, know that I see those posts and they bring me so much joy. So much joy, so much affirmation as to what God has gifted me in doing and called me to do. So sincerely, I just want to take a moment to thank you all from the bottom of my heart for being so supportive. And I hope that you continue to benefit from this podcast and specifically from this message. So subscribe, rate the podcast, leave me a sweet review, all that jazz. Now, if you know anything about this amazing podcast, the Bought and Beloved podcast, then you know that I love to answer your questions and share specific biblical truth with you guys. So I went over to my podcast email, which is boughtandbeloved@gmail.com, all spelled out, and I found two emails that correlated with one another. And I just wanted to answer their questions today because I actually preached on this topic at two church conferences this year, and I just think it's really cool that this keeps getting brought up and I keep getting to minister to people about this. So the fact that it's even popping up in the podcast email, I was like, hey, these people haven't heard this word yet. Let's put this out there and get this out there. So I will read both of them. The first one was very short, sweet, to the point, and it was from Dominic. So Dominic asked me, why do we find it so hard to overcome temptation? Now, I got another similar email from an individual who wanted to remain anonymous, but disclosed that they were from California. So, hey, what's up? Hello, my West Coast fam bam. And they wrote a bit of a longer message, but I want to read the whole thing. And they said, hey, Kirby, I've really been enjoying your podcast. Thank you. The episodes you have done so far have really convicted me and have helped me to recognize some of the faults in myself. However, I know that there is something I have been struggling with for a few years now, and that is temptation. I will go weeks and months even without falling into temptation, and then one day I'll crash and burn. Then I feel dumb, I feel worthless, weak for falling. I feel like I should have done better and like I'm not worth forgiving. I feel ashamed. I feel like everyone around me can see my sin. I'd rather hide and stay in my room than face anyone. I'd rather hide and not even face God. So how do I stop myself from falling into temptation? Will God forgive me if I've committed this sin before? I hope to hear from you. Thank you from California. Wow. My California friend, I feel that. And I'm pretty sure that everybody and their mom that just listened to me read that feels that to their core. First of all, thank you, both of you guys, for reaching out to me and sending me those, but more specifically, my California friend, thank you for your vulnerability, because I really believe that is one of the first steps to freedom in your life, is bringing it to the light and confronting it and not running from it, not hiding from it, but bringing it to the Lord. But we will get to that in a second. I really hope that this word not only exposes how the enemy works in regards to temptation in our life and in sin, but that the truth of Scripture and by the Spirit of God living in you, that you are able to find freedom, that you're able to find redemption, and that, just as you said, Dominic, that you are able to know what it looks like to overcome those temptations that are set before you. So let me start off by saying how much I hate sin. I hate it, y'all. I hate sin. You want to know why I hate sin? I hate sin because it separates me from God. I hate sin because it distorts the reality of my identity. I hate sin because it covers me in shame. I hate sin because it makes me feel condemned and unworthy. And I hate sin because I know how deeply it affects me and even sometimes the people that I care about. But I also hate how easily I have found myself falling into sin, giving into sin, brushing my sin off, and even validating my sin sometimes. I hate how I find myself submitting to sin when I know that I have been freed from the chains of death. I know that I have been set apart for the fullness of life. So why is it that I continue to run back to sin? Why is it that we continue to run back when we have been freed from it and its bondage? I mean, we know it's not good for us. It's literally preached at us all the time. I'm preaching it to y'all right now. We know how much God hates sin, right? Shouldn't that fact alone cause us to not sin? Well, I want to go deeper with y'all today, because I think it's very easy for us to say, oh, God doesn't want me to do it, so let's just not do it. Like, okay, that's obvious. And in some instances, you know what? That thought alone, it's powerful and it enables us to withstand those desires. God doesn't want me to do it, so I'm not going to do it. But I think for some of us, we have continued to fall into a habitual pattern of sin. And most of us are actually in need of a refreshing heart change, and not just knowing don't do it, but knowing the why we're not supposed to do it, the why God set up those boundaries for us. Because you see, in Psalm 119:11, it says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. We need a heart change. And again, in Proverbs 4:23, it reiterates, above all else, y'all, above all else, that is important. We need to guard our hearts because everything that we do flows from it. The issue of giving into temptation isn't just a legalistic issue of obeying commands and doing it because he says so, but it is a heart issue at the end of the day. The condition of our heart affects the decisions that we make and the actions that we take. If we have the Spirit of God actively dwelling within us, if Jesus has moved in and taken up full residency, I'm talking that he is now the owner and you are not some crummy landlord who is renting out the basement to the Jezebel spirit, heyo. If we have allowed him to take up full residency to become the Lord of our life and we have his truth stored in our hearts, then I think we have a better chance of overcoming the temptations that are being laid out before us. I also think that we need to deeply fall in love with God again and understand why he so desperately calls us out of that lifestyle, because there's a reason behind it. God doesn't just establish boundaries in vain. There is purpose behind everything that he does. There is a reason why he doesn't desire for you to live a sinful life. And if we can invite him into our hearts and give him permission to speak truth over our lives and the temptations that we're finding ourselves enslaved in over and over again, then I believe that you will begin to desire what he has in store for you more than the desires of this fleeting world. The hope, the victory, and the promise is that we have been freed from sin. We are free if we are in Christ. But some of us, we continue to fall down, whether it be habitually or, you know, a moment of weakness. But I want to encourage you with a message of truth, freedom, and hope today by showing you the realities of the enemy, the world, and the desires of the flesh in comparison to what God has for you. Because God's blessings are more satisfying than sin's empty promises. So I want to first point out to you all that for those of you who have declared Christ as your Savior, and if you have been spiritually reborn because of your faith, then you have been freed from the chains of sin and you now get to walk in victory. 1 John chapter 5 verse 4, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world." Listen to that. Listen to that, Dominic. Listen to that, California emailer. Listen to everyone. "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Our faith has led us to this promise of victory in overcoming the world, our faith in Jesus. Well, if this world is what we as a believer are supposed to be overcoming, what exactly is the world? Great question. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 says this: "Do not love the world or the things in this world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever." Okay, did y'all catch that? First of all, we are commanded to not love the world or the things of this world, which are what? The desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, because God is not in those things, and those things are passing away. Not only are they void in truth and vain in essence, but they're dying. They're temporal, fading, untrustworthy, unreliable of our hope, of our faith, of our assurance. We are to not love the world. That means that the world is going to try and fight for our affection, our attention, our affirmation through the means of the flesh, the eyes, and the pride of life. Satan uses the same schemes today as he did back in the Garden of Eden. Now check this out. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. What does it say? It says, "Now the serpent," i.e. Satan, "was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman," did God actually say, "You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate." All right, guys. So Satan, did y'all catch that? Satan came up to Eve and he appealed to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, right? It says that the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, that it was to be desired to make one wise. You see, he introduced her to entertaining the thoughts of, "Oh, this will make me feel better than I already do in God's will. This looks better than God's original design. This will satisfy and elevate me to a better place than God already has me, which is in perfect intimacy with him." He got Eve to question those things. And that's what Satan still does with us today. Do you see this? He appeals to the lust of the flesh within us, finding what it is that we want, what it is that we can't have. And he tries to make what he is tempting our flesh with look appealing and desirable. And he tries to trick us into thinking that it will actually benefit our lives and elevate us to a better place than perfect intimacy with God. But let's be aware that the temptations that we lean toward reveal where it is in our lives that we are not allowing God to fully satisfy us. I'm going to say this again for the person taking notes. Be aware that the temptation that you are leaning towards actually reveals where it is in your life that you are not allowing God to fully satisfy you. You see, our desires, they can either be met by the temporary fixes of this world, provided by Satan, or by eternal satisfaction provided by God. The temptations you're falling into really expose the condition of your heart and where you're not finding your joy in God, your security in God. So I'm going to take us back to that first verse I mentioned at the start, Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything that you do flows from it. If you keep running back to that ex-boyfriend or girlfriend every time they text you to come hang out while their parents aren't home, to come chill, I'm afraid that you're trying to fill a void in your heart that only God can fill. If you're starving yourself and posting photos on Instagram to try and make your life look perfect and in control, then I'm afraid that you're attempting to satisfy the round hole in your heart with a square peg. If you're thinking that sneaking out and getting drunk and getting high are going to give you a glamorous, carefree life, then I'm afraid you are letting the devil twist and trick you into thinking that you're going to be happy. But the truth is that you are just going to come out the other end more empty than before. It will never be enough. Sin will never be enough for you. It will never be enough. It will never quench your thirst. It will never satisfy your heart. It will never give you enough comfort. It will never validate your identity enough. Sin will never be enough. And I bet you can see that you continue to fall into these habitual patterns, and Satan is leading you down this hallway of empty promises, and you're opening door after door after door after door, and you finally look back and you see that you have wandered down this long hallway of failed attempts, broken promises, and you get to a point where eventually you're like, how did I get here? How did I get here so entangled in sin? I seem so far from the truth, so far from forgiveness, so far from the presence of God. How did I get here? That is how Satan works. He makes the door look tempting. He makes the knob, the doorknob, look shiny and polished and beautiful. And you open it and there's just nothing on the other side. It is an empty promise. It is blindness. It's foolishness at the end of the day. And I know you know that, and I'm not trying to shame you, but I know that you are in that spot. And I feel you, because I've been there, because I'm human, because I'm broken. In Romans chapter 2, Paul talks about how in one instance, God gave a group of people over to the lusts of their heart and the dishonoring behavior that they were continuing in because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. They chose to give it their affection, their attention. They chose to give their worship over to the created rather than the creator. But newsflash, my friends, the created, it will never fulfill you. It will never satisfy you. Why? Because it was never meant to receive your devotion and your worship. Creation was created to bring God glory, not to receive glory from within itself. Creation is never meant to be treated as savior of our lives because it can never save your life. It can never satisfy your need. It can never bring you out of that hole. It will never bring you, like I said, the comfort, the assurance. It will never do those things. It might look like it. It might be shiny and glittery, but it is not true light. Alcohol, it will never save you from the brokenness, so stop giving it the position of savior in your life. Drugs will never fill up the emptiness you feel, so stop giving it the position of savior in your life. Pornography and hookups and toxic relationships, it will never ease your seeking heart with true love, never. So stop giving it the position of savior in your life. Conforming to this world and putting your hope in other people and in your own abilities, it will never give you peaceful security and acceptance. So stop giving it the position of savior in your life. God is our only source and the only source of everything that we need. And Satan will twist and he will try and distort the truth for a lie so that you can sacrifice God's deserved and designated worship for the vain which will never fill the void. The world, just as 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 states, is passing away. Ecclesiastes goes into deep, deep detail to explain how the world is fleeting. It's vapor. It's vanity. It's meaningless. The only place that we will ever feel everlasting and eternal joy, peace, freedom, purpose, love, acceptance, meaning, and confidence is in God, the one who created us. And victory is the promise of our faith in Him. When we put our faith in Him, when we truly activate faith. We put it in Him. We allow it to be in motion. We don't just say it. We don't just let it sit in our Instagram bios. But when we are walking and actively living in faith and giving these things over to the Lord, victory is your promise. Cling to that. Victory, overcoming, that is your birthright. Satan is such a tricky, scheming enemy, y'all. And if you are not aware of who he is and how he works, it can be so easy to get ensnared by his plots because they're tricky. They're crafty. Notice his wording back in the garden with Adam and Eve and how he tried to distort the truth that God spoke, which was to not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, by asking Eve if God had really commanded them to not eat of any tree in the garden. Satan is not going to be blatantly obvious with his lies. No, because he knows that you would see right through that. He is going to try and twist it to be as close to the truth as possible so it seems believable and valid. But that is why it is so vital for us to know the truth of God fully, to fill our hearts and minds with his truth so that we can guard ourselves from his schemes. Just as Psalm 119 verse 11 stated earlier. Y'all, if you want to know what is true and what is not true, you need to get into the Word of God. Because it is solid truth that will enable you to discern the truth from the lies. If we have this truth available to us that exposes exactly how Satan works, then we need to run to it. We need to use it. We need to take advantage of that. Make time to get in the Word and coat your mind in it, because spiritual warfare is so real. Spiritual warfare never takes a day off. The world will not only try and rob you of your affection, but it's also going to try and rob you of your time. Like I said, it never takes a day off. An issue that I see in believers is in their devotion to reading God's Word and getting in prayer. And y'all, again, I'm not perfect. I have fallen subject to this too. But And you know, this is not supposed to be just a legalistic act of religious tradition where it's something that we cross off our Christian checklist. No, getting in the Word of God and making time for prayer, we need to understand this, is an opportunity for us to be drawn into closer proximity to God and His light and His protection and His provision. I know that you have football practice. I know that you need to study for chemistry. I know that you have dance rehearsals and they run late. I know that you have other commitments and priorities, but you need to make sure. My spiritual friends out there, my believers, if you are a warrior for Christ, if you are really taking up the armor of God, you need to prioritize time with God first and foremost. Above all else, guard your heart. He is the Lord of your life, right? He needs to be the Lord of your day, of your time, of your conversations, of your actions, everything, especially time. You are God's now, and that means that He is the Lord of your time as well. Like, I'm pretty sure that you can give 5 minutes back to God, you know, time that belongs to Him, by reading more than just Philippians 4:13 before your baseball game or reciting John 3:16 after church. Like, if Jesus is the Lord of your life, then you will prioritize time for Him. Satan is going to try and make excuses for you, make you think that through the pride of life that your time is meant to honor you alone. But I think that we can sacrifice an episode of The Office in order to be better equipped when Satan tries to tempt us with whatever it is that our flesh is weak for. Am I right? Receive that. Now, I am super proud to announce that today's podcast is actually being sponsored by one of my favorite brands, one that I've worked with in the past on my other social media platforms, and it's FabFitFun. So for those of you who don't know, FabFitFun is a seasonal subscription box with full-sized beauty, fitness, fashion, and lifestyle products. I remember when I got my first box from them, and I seriously felt like it was my birthday all over again, because the products that they include are insanely amazing. I remember getting a cute eye mask that I still use to this day from Free People in one of my boxes, and I also have received Tarte makeup palettes in another one. I mean, you can expect all kinds of brands such as Glam Glow, Anthropologie, Beauty Blender, and way more in your boxes to come. Now, this $49.99 box is valued at $200, so that is honestly a steal. And on top of that, they gave me a sweet promo code for all of you, so you can save even more money. So if you swing by www.fabfitfun.com, you can use code BELOVED for $10 off your first box. Seriously, guys, these boxes sell out so fast, so sign up ASAP and snag a box for only $39.99 instead with the coupon code BELOVED and feel fab, fit, and fun. Have you ever wondered what God has planned for you in your future? What you were made to do? Who you were made to be? It's time for answers. And in Carson Case's new book, Born for It, 90 Days and 90 Ways to Discover Your Gifts and Purpose, you'll be challenged to learn how to hear and trust God's voice while also understanding your unique giftings from Him. God has special plans for each one of us, and it's our job to discover and fulfill His purpose for us. Perfect inspiration for young graduates who are looking towards their future, this brand new book from our partners at Zondervan is available wherever you buy books. So, go get your copy today. But guys, never trust a word that comes out of the enemy's mouth. Never trust a word that comes out of Satan's mouth. He will only try and lead you astray into confusion and hopelessness with his words so he can bring about destruction over your life and the plans that God has for you. Knowing that, when Satan tries to tempt your flesh, understand that it is not going to satisfy. I cannot stress this enough. If we can know that, if we can deeply know that in our hearts, that the spiritual warfare is real and that Satan is only trying to destroy you, then I think that will give you a boost, almost an upper hand in refusing and shutting down those lies and those schemes. Now, I want us to keep in mind John 10:10 at the forefront of our mind at all times. You guys have probably heard the saying, you know, a spiritual arsenal, like you have your weapons, right? John 10:10 needs to be one of those verses at the forefront of your spiritual arsenal that you can just whip out at any and all times that you need to. And John 10:10 says this: "The thief, Satan, comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I, Jesus, came so that they may have life and have it abundantly." Y'all, Satan steals, Satan kills, Satan destroys. He will try and rob you of the fullness of life by appealing to the lust of the flesh. He will try and kill your purity by defiling your eyes with things that you were never meant to admire. He will try and destroy your humble posture and proximity to God by feeding you false entitlement that will crumble and was never promised to you. Don't give him a voice in your life now that you know this truth and know the blueprints of his destruction towards you and the kingdom's advancement. And keep in mind that no matter what the world promises you or what Satan tries to tempt you with, he's only saying those things to try and get to God. You see, we are God's what? Beloved. His most prized possessions. I mean, he sent Jesus to die for our sins so he could buy us back into relationship with him. Freedom. Not slavery from sin, but freedom in him. And because sinful Satan can't stand the sight or presence of a glorious and loving God, he is going to try and wreak havoc by getting as close as he can to God's heartstrings, and that's by messing with us. Satan is not on your side. Whatever he's promised you or tried to tempt you with, bro, he is not on your side. The glitter and the gold of this world is only offered on a silver platter in order to lure you into a pit of muck and mire. But you know what? Our God loves us so much that even if that's where you find yourself today, he's gonna lift you up. Man, that is such good news about our God. That he will lift you up out of the muck and mire, that he will set you upon a mountaintop, that he will allow you to soar on eagle's wings. How good is our God? Sin is more than just a what not to do list. It is an action that separates us from God, who wants nothing but love to be the outpour and the overflowing factor of our life. Have y'all heard this statement that God cannot be in the presence of sin? I think that a more accurate statement is that sin cannot be in the presence of God. Because think about this. Sin is not able to stand before the presence of God in all of his glory. Like, think about that for a moment. Satan literally has to flee in the name of Jesus. Why? because his schemes can't stand before God's glory and truth and perfect righteous judgment. God's glory visualizes, literally vaporizes sin in an instant. It dispels it like that, like the snap of a finger. And God wants to get that sin off of you so that you can delight in his presence. The blood of Jesus washes away that sin so that you can one day, when you stand before the throne of judgment, you can run into his arms and not be dispelled from his presence, because the love of the Father is within you and it is covering you. Satan is the father of lies. But you want to know who our God is? He's the father of truth. Our God is the full essence of love, the one true God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7 says, "Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but it rejoices with the truth. Love, it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." If God is love, then God is all of those things and more. He's also truthful and faithful to his word and his plan for you, unlike Satan, who is a father of lies and never lives up to his word. But circling back to 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, the final few words in that chunk of scripture explains how those who do the will of God abide forever. Well, what is the will of God? To put it simply, I think that Luke 10:27 and Ecclesiastes 12:13 do a good job. So Luke chapter 10, verse 27 says, "And he answered," this is Jesus talking, "he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.'" Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, "Fear God and keep his commands, for this is the whole duty of man." God's will for our lives is to love him, is to be in relationship with him, to honor the boundaries he has set up, because they are there to protect us and provide for us the fullness of life. To love God with our whole heart looks like being 100% committed to the covenant that you've both made and laying down your desires and distractions before him and instead taking up his will and his blessings for your life. To love God with all your soul looks like every action being a fruit of God's Spirit within you, and to actively feast on the truth of Scripture and delight in fellowship with the Lord. To love God with all of your strength looks like giving him your all as you run the race with perseverance in the full armor of God, making yourself an available vessel for receiving and pouring out his blessings, ready for servanthood. To love God with all of your mind looks like holding each thought captive, submitting every perception and decision before him, holding it to the standard of character and truth that he has called you to live by. Now, the boundaries that he has placed to block out sin are so that we can experience full intimacy with him, not to keep us from having fun. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Christian, the Christian life, it's not fun. Are you kidding me? Freedom is so fun. That's the complete opposite. As the Spirit of God delights in us, the fruit that grows and that's produced within us is what? It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and what? Self-control. Ooh, what is self-control? Self-control is the ability to resist, the ability to say no to the tugging of our flesh, knowing that it's not what God designed for us or designated for us. 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God gave us a spirit not of fear," hello, "but of power, of love, and of self-control." The power of God's Spirit is within you. The overwhelming love of God is unceasingly pouring over you. And the ability to resist Satan's schemes with the fruit of the Spirit, self-control, is possible for you. But I want you to notice this. And this will alleviate a lot of pressure and an unrealistic standard from yourself. Notice that all of this resisting, all of this fighting, all of this combating, it's not by your power alone. It's not by your efforts and your strife alone. Don't get it twisted. We can strive to do more. We can work to do better, but by our own efforts, we're not going to be able to overpower the kingdom of darkness since we have our own flesh to fight against. But because of our faith in Christ and the Spirit's residency within us, we are able to overcome. We can fight against the kingdom of darkness because we now have been set apart, made right, purified, and have the Lion of Judah roaring with power within us and fighting our battles and winning our battles. So I know that I just spat out like a lot of information for you, but let me just give you guys some practical application real quick, as if this whole thing wasn't just a big application and encouragement in itself. So you might be asking me, Kirby, what do I do when I face temptation? When it's right there in front of me and I have to battle it, what do I do? Well, I'll tell you. First, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. First of all, set yourself up for success by walking with the Spirit in relationship with God. Fill yourself with His truth, going to Him in prayer, getting plugged into a good church where you're being fed doctrinal truth, and surrounding yourself with Christ-loving community. Cut out the toxic things of this world that are causing you to stumble. Have y'all heard of Mark chapter 9? Some people, you know, will read this and be like, is this literal? No, okay, no, this is not literal. But Mark chapter 9, verses 43 through 48 says this, and if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands going to hell, to the unquenchable fire. Oof, go off, Jesus. Verse 45, and if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. No, again, this is not meant to be taken literally. I'm not condoning purchasing a melon ball scooper and gouging out your eyes for looking at another man's wife with lustful eyes. No. I know that it seems a bit extreme because we brought out the H word, ooh, hell, and it seems a bit condemning, but Jesus's point here is that it is not worth it to compromise an eternal relationship with God for a life of slavery and submission to the things of this world. Jesus mentions our hands, our feet, our eyes. Think about that. Hands, feet, eyes. What is it that you're handling? What is it that you need to let go of? What sin is it that you need to let go of and just drop it already? What is it that you are walking towards? Where do you need to stop wandering? What is it that you're looking at? What do you need to set your eyes upon instead? Cut off the things that are cutting you off from freedom in God. Take note of the things that are toxic in your life and that are leading you into temptation and just cut it out. Be practical in setting yourself up for success by surrounding yourself with things and people that glorify God and deepen your relationship with Him instead. The second thing that you should do is stated in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We desire to do the things of God, right? But our flesh is weak. We need to be watchful for the attacks. We need to know. Be honest with yourself. What is your weak spot? And be watchful in those areas. Pray. Pray in the Lord's name. And know that in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches people to pray and gives us guidance to pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Y'all, fight the spiritual darkness with spiritual light. Start speaking truth over the areas that you feel like you are crumbling in, that you feel like Satan has a grip on. Start speaking truth and claiming freedom over that. Now, lastly, Ephesians 6, 10 through 20 goes on to talk about the whole armor of God. Now, I could really like read that whole thing for you guys, but you know, this podcast is already super duper long. I want you to read that for yourself. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. It talks about putting on the full armor of God. We need to suit up. We need to prepare for battle, knowing that the Spirit of God is alive and is active in you. And He will equip you to take down this enemy to win. Because yours is the victory, just as 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 declares. And to all my brothers and sisters in Christ out there, I want you to know that you have the armor of God. Many of us just need to activate it today. Some of us have the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God, but we need to start actually wielding it today and fighting with the word of God. Like, have hope, guys. Have hope that ours is the victory. Rest in the fact that just because you have stumbled does not mean that you are disqualified from running the race set before you. Now, maybe some of you out there feel like me or are similar to me. And whenever you fall or stumble or mess up or whatever, you feel like God withdraws from you. Or you feel like that's what God, you know, would rationally do. You feel like he's ashamed of you, that he turns his face from you, that you need to walk all the way back to the starting line and try harder to earn God's approval and acceptance this time because, you know, you're a Christian, you should know better, blah, blah, blah. I mean, don't be afraid to admit it. I'm literally the same way. That's a lie that I battle too. But it's a lie. When Adam and Eve hid from God due to their shame out of their disobedience, God didn't forsake them. He didn't abandon them. He didn't turn his face from them. First of all, he went looking for them in the garden. He asked, "Where are you?" You realize that's the first question God asked in the Bible? It's in reference to you. It implies the desire that he has for intimacy with you. I mean, God is all-knowing. He knew Adam and Eve sinned, but he still went looking for them because he still loved them. How on earth could a God like that love, you know, a wretch like me, someone who's just continuing to fall into sin, even though I know I shouldn't do it, blah, blah, blah? Because he created you. He created you for the garden. He knows exactly who you are. He knows your potential. He knows the gifts within you. He knows who you actually are. Aside from the sin, aside from the fallen state that we're struggling in, he knows who you are and he loves you. And that's enough. Just as I mentioned earlier, with all of those doors of empty promises that Satan led you through, you might be tempted to either lock the door on God due to shame, or you feel the need to walk all the way back in shame and try and start from square one again. Y'all, God has been running after you this whole time. He's not standing off in the distance at the end of the hallway yelling, "Get back here, you went the wrong way." No, he's right there in the doorway. He's been pursuing after you, waiting for you to invite him into the brokenness, into the void, so that he can comfort you, so that he can clean you up and open up a window for you instead, so that you can get out of this funhouse trap that Satan has sent you in, and that you can delight in the green pastures and the still waters of God's mercy and grace instead. Not only has he not abandoned you, but he says that you can get back up from where you are right now and keep moving forward. God has enough grace to pick you up and run the race beside you. He knows that you're not perfect, but it's by his perfect grace that we are being sanctified every day to look more like him and delight in his truth over the temptation. Sanctification is a process. A professor at my university talked about this one time, about how sanctification is a process of becoming more of who we already are. We are the righteousness of Christ. We are the salt and light. We are the city on a hill. We are kingdom royalty. We are a royal priesthood. We are holy and blameless before his sight. Justification happened. Jesus already said to Tetelestai on the cross, "It is finished." But sanctification is a process. It's a journey. A journey that's full of grace and learning, but with God by our side at all times. And it's through him and by him that we have the victory. And it's all because of what he did on the cross. Like, I hope that everyone listening to this knows that. God doesn't expect you to have it all together. We are dependent beings. We need to depend on the Lord. We need to allow our seeking and searching heart to find its home in God and his promises and his power instead. So know that your brokenness doesn't blindside him. That he will clean it up. And you know what's even more amazing? He will use that as an opportunity to not only reveal more of himself to you and to teach you about, you know, what it is that he truly desires for you, but he will piece you back together so that you look more like you're supposed to be, because that's what sanctification is. But yeah, I really hope that everyone takes away something from this truth. that you, the anonymous emailer, and you, Dominic, and everyone listening, that you run into the arms of the Father knowing that He is there to pick you up. He is there to pick you up because He loves you. He is never, 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 never going to abandon you. There is nothing you could do, no matter how many times you fall, nothing that would cause Him to forsake you or turn His face from you. You are not disqualified. His grace is enough. But knowing that, don't abuse it. Don't abuse that grace. Have a heart change and live in freedom instead, because a life of freedom is so much better than the fleeting world that we continue to chase after. Such good news. Such good news. But hey, if you are going through something and you need some godly wisdom and truth from Scripture, or if there is a specific question or topic that you want me to answer or speak on, please, please, please feel free to email me at botandbeloved@gmail.com. It is all spelled out, botandbeloved@gmail.com. Feel free to let me know your name, where you're from. But if you do want to keep it low-key, no worries. Just let me know if you want it anonymous. And subscribe. Subscribe if you haven't already. Give this podcast 5 stars. Leave a review if you have a minute. We're actually almost at 400 ratings, which is an amazing milestone that I would love to hit. Don't forget to follow me on all my social media. Kirby is a boss. Man, I just really hope that whatever it is you are facing, that temptation, that sin, that struggle that you feel like has had a hold on your life forever now, that you have a fire burning within you and a confidence within you of knowing the truth of God, knowing that victory is yours, and that you run in that. That you get back up and you allow God to cleanse you with the blood of Jesus, and that you just keep going. Keep going. Keep running. Keep persevering in truth, in the light, knowing that no scheme of Satan can make God love you any less or make Him abandon you. With all that being said, I love you guys. The Lord loves you guys. I hope this gives you hope. And yeah, I'm Kirby Minnick. Thank you again for tuning in to another episode of the Bought and Beloved podcast. Have a blessed week and keep running the race, y'all.
Thanks for listening to Bought and Beloved with Kirby Minnick. This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network. For more information about this show, visit convergepodcastnetwork.com. With so many podcasts to choose from, we're glad you chose to tune in today. We'd like to invite you to listen to one of our other Converge podcast partners. Head in the Clouds with Ryan Romeo is all about having a dream or calling to serve God, but then daily putting it into action and drawing inspiration on the journey. Great encouragement for those looking to do big things for God. Subscribe today to Head in the Clouds with Ryan Romeo.